Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
Live from the land that freedom forgot, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Welcome to it.
Welcome, everybody. Show 668. And, you know, after watching excerpts of Biden's State of the Union speech, now I know whose cocaine it was they found in the White House. Because he was definitely, what did they use, Adderall, Sandy?
Yeah, well, they got a. They must have a cocktail with this guy that's unbelievable. There's definitely some Speedos in there.
Oh, my God, was he speaking fast.
Oh,
but,
man.
So this is show 668.
Very angry man.
Yes, and we're waiting impatiently for a ruling from the Third Circuit on sensitive places, obviously. And, you know, obviously we're waiting for the judge on our assault weapons case and Mark Cheesman's FPC assault weapons case and, of course, our 15-round mag standard capacity mag case. While we're waiting for all of that, every week I've been trying to pick people, men, women, that are inspiring and very active in the 2A community. You all see that, and I've gotten a ton of positive feedback from all of our guests. So our next guest, he's a Gun for Hire alumni for a long time. He's at the range 3, 4, 5, sometimes 7 days a week. And he's very active. Every time I turn around, he's introducing new people to the shooting sports, another shining star. I look for that all the time. When I see somebody coming in with different people and introducing to me, this is my sister, my cousin, my coworker, my boss, my, you know, my underling, my I love that, and that inspires me. And then one day he turns to me and says, I started a podcast. I'm like, cool. So it's called the Varsity Firearms Podcast, and the link will be in the show reader today that you're listening to. So you should definitely subscribe on whatever platforms he's going to tell us he's on today. And I was on the show as a guest, as well as John Petrolino and a few others. And he's just an all-around great guy, always willing to help people, pretty much pulling the record. He thought that the gun a month law was a mandate that he had to buy a gun a month. And right now he's holding the record. Since we opened the gun store, he's literally bought a gun every month for the past 17 months. Pretty crazy, huh? Without further ado, John Valenti of the Varsity Firearms Podcast. John, welcome to our crazy world at Gun for Hire Radio.
Hey, guys. What's up? Happy to be a guest on the show today, guys.
Happy to have you.
And it's really no less than an honor.
It's we all do our part, John, right? We all do our part, and you've gone out of your way to do your part. Estimate how many people do you think you've directly and indirectly introduced to the shooting sports?
I don't know. I couldn't even give you a number. I'm going to tell
Good.
You probably safely close to 100.
And yeah, I think it's more
since COVID.
Yeah, you know? I think it's more, but I do. I think it's more for you. So talk to me before we get to the Varsity Firearms Podcast, which is kind of the end of the Valenti spectrum right now. Obviously, you're continuing to grow in the Second Amendment community. How did it start? How did you get into guns? And then what inspired you to become someone who would reach out and extend themselves and get other people into it, and you'd start to get active the way you are? How did it all start? Give me some baby steps here.
Yeah, so some baby steps. So I guess my fire was always lit from when I was young. But, you know, unfortunately, the constant negativity and the frowned upon views of firearms, it kind of kept me grounded, and I didn't know ever who to talk to about it, should I talk about it. But it was always a hobby, an interest, and, you know, just from a young age, I was into it, but I never felt like I had the support system, you know, other than a few friends or, you know, other people that enjoyed the sport of it. But it was something that kind of always lingered in my life, you know. So
John, you see what happens is the reason why there was no really support system is because New Jersey, in lockstep with the media, have created what Sandy coined the closet gun owner in New Jersey. By ostracizing us, by making us like you know, sex offenders. People are in the closet about gun ownership.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't bring it.
I was one of them.
And listen, if you're a doctor or you're a teacher or you own your own dental practice or something, it's very hard for you to just come out and say you own guns because you risk losing and alienating 50% of your customers and your friends. So I get it. So continue your journey with us, please.
Yeah, so what I was saying, I think I said it was always lingering in my life. And, you know, I guess, I was taught, or let's say brought up with, you know, firearms in the house for home protection. So I was never a stranger to it, but I would go to ranges as a kid. You know, I remember going to ranges with, you know, my dad, uncles, you know, and I got intrigued, you know, as I grew and remembered that and thought about these things. And I think the art of marksmanship and the aesthetics of different firearms really, you know, kind of got me amped up. So, you know, I wanted to know more. But that transitioned into, you know, getting, you know, pistol permits and buying guns. You know, maybe too many, but...
You can never have enough. It's how many fishing lures
I think I might have sold just as many as I have now. So I've gotten my hands on a lot of different firearms. So it's been fun, you know. And, you know, that's what it's about, you know. It's a hobby, you know. It's something that I love. But I really got, you know, into firearms because, I guess, you know, just not only the shooting, but the opportunity to protect yourself in your own home. Hey, listen, I wasn't waiting for anyone to come in, but it was just a sense of comfort, you know, to be able to protect yourself or your mm-hmm. family, you know. And, you know, it was kind of just, it was my thing that I, you know, kind of threw some keywords out there. If someone picked up on it, we'd have a conversation. Not too many people picked up on the keywords. Uh-huh. But, you know,
it
in time.
New Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, in time, I would go to the range and probably get there. I'm going to say back in my 20s and 30s, I would probably get there 2 times a month. But listen, back then, you know, you think in home protection, just a hobby, you know, it felt like it was enough. But, you know, then COVID hit, you know, and the range is closed and that hobby, let's say, got paused. And I think that's when I realized how strong my passion was for firearms, you know.
Ah, so that was the pivot point, huh?
It was the pivot point, yeah. I realized that it was a bigger part of me than I thought. It was truly my hobby. It was my stress reliever, you know. And I started to really, I said, hey, you know, I miss this, you know. This is the art I miss. This is what, you know, this is what was keeping me happy. Not in general, but it was one of the things that, you know, enlightened me in life with everything else stressful around you, you know, work, the hustle, everything running around. I had something for myself, you know. So that's what really got me to the point. But the COVID shutdown, it led me to, like, indulge in everything related to firearms because I needed to figure out how to get that same, you know, lack of a better term, fix.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And... you know, I needed something to try and fill that void. So, you know, I drove this into firearm research, reading firearm articles, watching firearm videos, and my interest just pushed me and pushed me and pushed me to become, you know, a student of firearms in general, you know, and I just wanted to pick up on all that knowledge. I spent hours immersing myself into obtaining everything, anything and everything to do with firearm, anything that I could learn, you know. I watched videos for hours and hours. I really got hooked on Masada Yub, you know. I became
my master.
Yeah, awesome. You know, I became dedicated to dry fire drills, and that's, you know, how it just kept growing from there, you know. I was learning and understanding and developing and safe concepts, you know, handling concepts, and with that, I had so much knowledge in me, and there was nobody around. So I was, every time I ran into somebody, you know, I would bring up firearms, you know, and see where it landed. And it was that moment where I realized there was a lot more people out there like me than I thought. And I think that it might have been taken away from a lot of people. And, you know, the freedom of coming and going, shooting, getting to the range. You know, there's really a great community of it, too. You know, there's this community side to it. You know, like if I go to the range over by you, and you know, I'll talk to four or five people. We'll have some great conversations. And I think, you know, from that moment on, I realized I was more comfortable about talking about it. And I stopped caring if people judge me. You know, I didn't care about the judgments anymore. And it just, I guess with age, you know, as I was getting older and I was proud of, you know, what I've done, who I am, mm-hmm. you know, and I just stopped caring about the judgment. And, you know, that led to more and more people listening to what I had to say, and the conversations grew.
Some sidebar info here. So John is the type of guy, he comes into the gun store and he's hanging around and he's looking at guns and stuff, and he'll see people, you know, on the next glass case over looking at guns and stuff. And he's one of those guys. He doesn't work for me, but he's a salesperson because he helps people and he guides people and he gives them their, gives them a lot of input. And he'll reach out to me and he'll be like, I'm coming in tonight with this guy and I'm coming in tonight with this guy, and you know, if I'm there, I'll go over and introduce myself. We like to make everybody feel like family. And I love the fact that you see these conversations going on. You know, that's one of the reasons why I love the big area we have over by the vending machines, because people can just, you know, drop their bag, get something to drink, and chill. And before you know it, like you'll see it all the time when we're running the concealed carry courses, the qualification, you know, 30 strangers will walk in and they all take their respective seat, and I'll come by and I'll bust chops or whatever. A lot of them know me from the show or know me personally. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, I walk by and there's like 7 conversations going on. And they're all sharing their knowledge and their information and their opinions and everything. It's just such a great fraternity. And you do that all the time, John. You bring people in all the time that don't own guns, and you let them shoot your guns. And obviously, you're paying for the ammo and you're paying for the membership and you're paying for the range time, which, again, is a big expense. And not everybody can do that, especially right now with the economic climate our country is in. You're fortunate that you can do that, but not everybody can do what you do.
Yeah, I never really thought that deep. My goal is to share my passion. You know, I enjoy it so much that I want people to see what they're missing, you know? And mm-hmm. at the same time, we're growing that great community, the 2A community.
But think about how many people can't afford it. You know, to bring 2 people a week to the range could cost $100 a visit. You know, it would be $10,000 a year for people that are on a fixed income, or blue collar workers, or one of the spouses is out of work at the moment. True. Right now, it's not an easy lift to do. So what you're doing is good. Imagine, you can't place a dollar value on it, but imagine placing a dollar value on how much money you've spent, money and time, introducing people to shooting. To me and you, that's priceless. But for a lot of other people, there's a strong financial attachment to that. So what you're doing is you're doing the work. You don't realize it, but most of our listeners out there that are introducing people to the shooting sports, and they're, you know, they're carrying the check. You guys are all doing phenomenal work out there. I just want to put that out there. So continue, John.
Well,
just,
you know, it's not work when you love it, you know. So
correct.
But I guess from that moment, I just became, I filled myself with so much knowledge, and I guess I just started sharing it. Maybe I was overfilled and I just had to let some out, you know? But
yeah, I get it.
You know, I just transitioned to, you know, to friends of friends and coworkers, and I found myself directing people that I didn't even know, just talking, you know, how to get a fire on my D card and how to purchase a permit for handguns, that we would talk gun recommendations and range recommendations.
So John, what? Just to rewind right now, for all of our listeners out there, this is huge. All of you out there, if you can't afford to bring people to the range once a week or once a month or whatever, you can offer to help people, to show them to go through the process. Because again, the process is set up to be confusing and ambiguous to scare people away from filling the paperwork out. We all know that. And somebody like you, who knows all the ins and outs of it, somebody like me, and obviously the majority of our listeners out there, there's another way that you can help people. Listen, if you're ready to get your FID card, I'll sit down with you. I'll go through the process with you. If you're ready to apply for your pistol permit, I'll sit down. I'll go through the process. If you're ready to apply for your carry permit, I'll sit down and go through the process. Once you have your FID card, I will go with you to the gun store and help you. I will go with you to the gun store when you have your pistol permit and help you. I will go and help you practice. I will watch you practice when you're shooting. These are many, many things that we all can do for free.
And it's huge.
And we should be continuing to build the army out there, and it's huge. So John, right now you're not impacted by the financial aspect, for lack of a better term. You know, obviously every well has a bottom, but all of our listeners out there, again, this should also be inspiring. How else can I help? And then the next level is to show people the guidance. All right, you own a new Corvette, now you need to join the Corvette Club. You own a gun, you need to join the NRA, FPC, CNJFO, et cetera, et cetera. So go ahead, John. So you're getting all of this knowledge out there. You're at this point now where you're expanding the spider web is growing, right? You went from close friends and family to extended friends and family. Then you went into coworkers. Then you get to the point where you meet people at the range that you know that didn't know they shot, right?
Right. Or even in your store, people were confused, you know, waiting, you know, that your store gets packed sometimes. And I catch little stories and I'll just say, yeah, you could put a sight on that or that. You know, if you're looking to put a Holosun on that's the right footprint. You know, I'll throw little things out because it helps people with their decisions and what they're going to look at. And also, you know, it helps move it along for you too as well, because you know, there's a lot of people in that store.
I appreciate that. Now,
I'm looking for the jump. I'm looking for the jump to front of the line in that store, but you know, I tried buying extra guns. It didn't work. I still have to wait out.
No, I need you. I need you in there helping people out, because see, now here's how the dynamics change, John. What you're talking about is John is objectively giving people input, whether you take it or not is up to them. When I got into shooting 35, 40 years ago, they'd be like, "You can't do that, dummy."
Yeah,
you know what I mean? The attitude was, it was not open. Yeah. You couldn't ask a question, and other customers would pile on the rabbit. They would get with the retail staff and gang up on you, and they'd start looking at you and go, look at the question that dummy asked. You know, well, you were ostracized. It's changed now. People you have joined this army. Go ahead.
Let me tell you this, because the truth is, you know, when I first got involved, let's say before COVID, and I had a lot of questions. And I'm a guy that has questions. And, you know, I felt stupid asking questions to people because I always felt like people said, well, you should know that. Or, you know, or they would judge me or be like, oh, this guy can't have a gun. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. So I would be intimidated to ask the questions, you know. And I don't want to say target, but I see the people that look like a little bit nervous or maybe not sure if they should ask that question. And those are the people that I like to approach, because I was there at one time, you know, and I know what it was like, and you don't want people to view you differently or think your knowledge is not there because you're growing in it. And you're right. Years ago, if you said something asinine with guns, a gun guy from the early 80s would come down your throat and be like, what are you talking about? You know? So, you know, I it's just a different approach. You know, I just think that I try and throw some love to the people that are a little bit confused, try and prep them so when they're asking the right questions to, let's just say, you know, when they're joining a range or they're buying a gun, I like to prep them so their conversation goes well, you know, so they feel a little confidence in what they're doing. You know, that's really what the target I have on a lot of people. And that's what came from me talking to people asking, you know, opinion. And you know, I make sure I'm clear that it's my opinion. Like, hey, this is what I like. You may be different. You know, I use a lot of those terms. I just want people to think that, you know, there's one way and only one way, because we all know that, you know, we're all comfortable with different firearms, different sights, different, you know, hand grips, whatever it is, you know. So I want people to know that, you know, I just like to lead people in the right direction so they're asking the right questions. But, you know, with all the recommendations that I made and all the direction I've given people, to me, it just the gratitude was rewarding. You know, if people, when, you know, people are calling me, hey, I got my firearms ID card, you know, or I just got the email from the state. I can get my first, you know, pistol. And you know, that usually leads up to, oh, that's great, good to hear. And then, you know, a little silence and you're going to come with me to get it, right? You know, so I'm usually locked in for the whole ride, the whole process. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that's so important. People listen, it's guns. And as guys, especially men, could you imagine a woman's perspective walking into a gun store, even though, you know, women, you know, today are treated as equal as men, it's intimidating. And it's nice to have that big brother or big sister to take you and introduce you to the whole process. And then just to introduce you to the people and make you feel comfortable so that the next time you walk in the store, the person makes eye contact with you and gives you that welcoming smile and goes, oh, you're back. Did you make up your mind? Blah, blah, blah. That intro is so important. You know, the first salvo is so important. And that's the work that everybody needs to do. And that's what I see you doing all the time. And besides the Varsity podcast and the record gun purchasing, that's another reason why I wanted you on the show, is because I need 10,000 more John Valentis in New Jersey out there. And again, from, you know, sacrificing your time and money to just sacrificing your time. It doesn't have to be about money. Just meeting somebody at a gun store, male or female, and going through the process and letting them touch and feel different firearms and explain the process and helping them out. How do I fill this out? And, you know, how long should I be waiting at my police department? Just to be there to answer those questions, because, you know, the internet could be tricky. Not everybody, not every web page is like the Facebook page, the New Jersey Firearms Syndicate 2 page, where 99% of the information there is valuable and legitimate because of the admins working on it, you know? Yeah. There's so much misinformation out there that there's nothing better than the face-to-face personal help that we give people. And we all know that. And what you don't realize, John, is that these impressions are going to be left on people forever. You'll leave an indelible impression on that person. I have people come up to me, you gave me my first lesson, or you told me this is the gun I should bought when you worked at the bullet hole 30 years ago. I get people that bring shit up like that from 30 years ago. I have no recollection of this person, but I left that impression on them. And you're doing the same thing. And everybody out there listening, you're doing the same thing when you meet somebody at a gun store or you bring them to a range.
Yeah, it, to me, it's rewarding, you know, it's rewarding, and, you know, that, it made me want more, you know, so I just kept going deeper and deeper. I went and got my RSO certification, I got my firearms instructor certification. I just started taking classes and more classes, and I just keep sharing information and directing people to take classes that I took. Because then I can talk about the classes as well and how it will help them and what they're telling me, you know, what their issues are. I usually tell them what class would help them. You know, it's something I created on myself. I knew I was stepping into big shoes, but I think that motivated me. But I also know that if I'm going to make recommendations and I'm going to direct people, you know, and I'm going to give my suggestions, I really have to know what I'm talking about. So, you know, that's I want to thank COVID for that. It gave me one good thing. It got me indulged in not only firearms at 120% instead of, let's say, 80%. So, you know, it just kept going, which obviously led to the Varsity Firearms podcast. I mean, yes. You know, eventually I want to be a part of. You know, I want to be out there working with people more. You know, it's tough to do it in ranges, but you know, there's a lot of things I think I can bring to the table from an instructor end. And
you also have a family, a business, and a full-time job too.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So you know, there's a balance here. So at what point? So you decided, I got all of this information. I want to share all of this information. I read and I watch videos. I do all this. So now I'm going to take. And I'm going to start the Varsity Firearms podcast, which when people listen to the podcast, it's very centric around safety and education and his opinion on product reviews and everything. So I guess this was the point where, like, getting on top of the roof and screaming it out wasn't enough. You had to do a podcast so you could increase the reach. Is that the feeling I'm getting here?
Yes, it's pretty much correct.
That's great.
And, you know, I didn't just wake up and say, hey, I'm going to do a podcast. You know, I started getting people started saying, hey, you know what you should do to get more information out? You know, so finally I bowed and to take the shot. And I think you might have been the first person I told that I was going to do it.
Yeah, I think
because
so.
Because I wanted to hear your feedback and you know, see what you thought, because, you know, you're a figure in my life when it comes to 2A, and you taught me a lot, and you gave me the blessing, and I was like, well, that's it. There's not much more.
So. Yeah, well, that's good. That's good, because anybody that approaches me, I'm like, listen, if you got the fire, and I like see what I see in you though is, because you don't have that, you don't draw the conclusions. You're not opinionated and biased or pushy or overbearing. You have that touch, okay? You know, I've seen your presentation. So when you told me you wanted to start a podcast, I'm like, that's perfect, because you have the overall package where when you're talking to people, you're not talking down to people. And that's the most important thing. That's a hard thing to teach someone. Sandy, would you agree? That's something that
Absolutely.
Has to come naturally.
It does. Yeah, you can't make that up.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone through over the years, you know, instructors and employees, because they would do that. And I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way. You know, we don't talk down to anybody. We talk at the same level, and you open that door and you show the objectivity, and because you want the questions to flow. And the hardest thing in this business is to answer the same, air quote, stupid question. Yeah. The millionth time with the same enthusiasm you heard it for the first time. Yeah. And me, I always reflect back where, like, well, 35 years ago, I asked that stupid question.
Right.
And we didn't have, John, back in my day, we didn't have the internet where we can get good info and bad info.
Right.
You know, we just had magazines and then go to a local gun range or the local gun store and see how long it was going to take before somebody called us stupid.
More bad information.
Yeah. Or they would say, hey, Joe, come on over here. They would say to another customer, John, come over here. Listen to the stupid question this guy just asked me. And it was like, I'm standing here.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are talking like this right in front of me.
Right.
I was going to spend money here.
Yeah.
You know, I just like, oh, my God. So those days are, I mean, you hear about it once in a while, but those days are pretty much dead and gone. Thank God.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good people out there sharing great information now, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there really is. I saw it grow tremendously. So that was, you know, that got me pumped up, too. I just saw it was coming from every angle, and I said, you know, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a difference maker, you know?
And that is great. That is inspiring. So talk to me. So has it been gratifying for you doing the podcast? Is it another outlet where you're kicking it and, feeling good about it?
You know, after, you know, I wanted to start the podcast, but I have to tell you that really came after, like I said, all the gratitude I had and for helping people and bringing people to the ranges. But there was a time where, you know, like I said, this was through COVID. So there was a lot of conversations and a lot of dry firework. I mean, there's some things I did in between that I was like, wow, I don't know why I thought about that. But we were meeting together and working on things and talking. I was bringing small groups together, you know, guys that missed the range as well. So there was so much in between. And then, you know, eventually the ranges opened again and the Bruin case prevailed. And I started taking people to the range, like physically, and helping people decide on firearm purchases, because they were all, you know, they were all in on all that downtime in COVID to get everything in line. And that was the moment where I knew that, you know, I should do something, you know, with I reached more than one, you know. So from that moment on, it was Varsity Firearms, you know. And like I said, I got your blessing, and I wanted to be a part of supporting the Second Amendment and, you know, and the great gun community from a perspective that I knew was working for me and working for the community, you know. So I publicly, in essence, involved myself and took on the role to promote not only the right to bear arms, but the importance of safety and safe gun handling. And that's really how I kind of went into it, because I said, you know what, I'm doing something that no one even knows about, so let me join the fight, you know.
So, John, how do people find your podcast, and if someone wants to be on it, how do they reach out to you and contact you? Let me have that before we take a break.
Via email, of course. Go ahead. It is varsityfirearmstraining@gmail.com. Of course, I am on all social media platforms. Anyone can message me there. I can give you those now, too. Facebook is Varsity Firearms. Instagram is Varsity_Firearms. And X, which I need to get a little bit more active on, Varsity Firearms. So those are the outlets to reach out to me. I do have a couple guests signed up. I am starting season 2. I think I went too fast in season 1. I had 20 episodes. And I only started in July last year. So, and I got over 3,000 listeners. So that pumps me up. I think in, you know, less than a year's time to get that amount of listeners, I have to be doing something right. So
you have actually more than 3,000 listeners, because you have people sharing it with other people. You have multiple people listening to the show. In my estimation, you probably have about 5,000 listeners. So that's a lot. Nice. Think about that reach, John. You can't do that. You'd have to live at my range to reach that many people in 5 years.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a lot.
If that.
Correct. That's a lot. So that's great. So Varsity Firearms Podcast, we're going to take a break, do some housekeeping right now, and we're going to come back. And John, I got to talk about some stuff that Murphy's coming after us with, a couple of letters, and you're going to give us some tips on favorite gun, first gun, training tips, whatever you have. Give us some Varsity Firearms tips when we come back. Sandy,
you
ready?
Yes.
Can I start?
You could.
Okay, so if you live in New York City, New York State, you need New York TAC Defense, NYTACDefense.com. Peter Tillum, for $35 a month, and you get 15% off your monthly membership if you mention Gun for Hire. It will be your legal expert and legal defense fund, so you don't have to worry about any type of retainer if you live in New York, anywhere in New York State, nytacdefense.com. If you live in the 49 other states, uslawshield.com. uslawshield.com, use Gun for Hire, code word as well, one word. Listen, insurance is banned in New Jersey. It is illegal at the moment. This is a legal defense fund, and for as little like $12 a month, it's insurance to have it. It covers you in all 50 states as well. A great book, and he was also a guest on Firearms, the Varsity Firearms Podcast, is Decoding Firearms with John Petrolino. His book and my book, Crime Proof, Think Like a Criminal and Beat Them at Their Own Game, are available, obviously, Amazon, the Gun for Hire Pro Shop, as well as Kindle. And, of course, don't forget our friends down in Monmouth County, Aberdeen Guns and Ammo, my buddy John Zeller. John is going to be on the show in a couple of months as well, too. He doesn't know it yet. He's going to hear it tomorrow when the show goes live, because you know that's how I do things. My doctor, Optimal Health Wellness NJ. Optimal Health Wellness NJ is concierge medicine for a few hundred bucks a month. You can have a doctor that you're wired into 24/7. No waiting in doctor's offices or going to the back of the line. It is definitely the wave and trend of the future. It's not for everyone, but if it's for you, please check out Optimal Health Wellness NJ. Also, our buddies at news2a.com. At news2a.com, they're on all the platforms also as well, like John Valenti's Varsity Firearms Podcast. Please like and follow and share them, because, again, there's power in numbers. Our StandStrong.biz. John, is Varsity Firearms Podcast on StandStrong.biz?
It is not, but okay. East Coast Athletics is. My gym is.
Good. Now put Stand Strong. Okay, we'll talk about that when you come back too. StandStrong.biz. We should have, John, you should put it on there. We're up to 476 businesses, products, and services on StandStrong.biz. It's free. It's a community to keep it all in the family. If you received your NRA ballot, it means you've been an NRA member for 5 years or more, or you're a life member. Please bullet vote Scott Bach for NRA, please. We need Scott on the board. He represents New Jersey with me. We get money for lawsuits. We get law firms to help us out and everything. Yes, I know a lot of crap went on with the NRA, and I'll have a lot to talk about pretty soon. It's been 4.5, 5 years. I've been cooling my jets, but the lawsuit, the cases are almost over in New York State, and Anthony will be having some juicy stuff to talk about in the future. So please bullet vote Bach for NRA Board of Directors. We have new member perks. John, did you check out our new member perk page?
I sure did.
Pretty cool, right?
They're very good.
Wait till you see what's going to be coming. So
I started texting some of your guys at the gun store.
Oh, good.
As soon as I saw it.
Good. Where this was an idea. I had a small idea about getting rid of stuff like specials and get rid of older stuff and get rid of older models or whatever, and I lobbed it to Matt and Richie, and they ran it up past the 50-yard line. The rest of the team jumped in, Phoebe, Scott Schneier, everybody to help, Gary, everybody gave their input, and it's just going to get better and better and better. No one's going to be able to compete with this member perk that we have out there. Next week, John Acapinti is going to be on the show with John Jr., and they're going to be talking about the Friends of the NRA dinner and all the sponsors they received so far, and I'm going to be guilting and shaming and shunning a lot of people if you haven't gotten a part of the NRA dinner yet. So you have 1 week to email FOD1@optonline.net or go to friendsofnra.org. You have 1 week to buy tickets. You have 1 week to reach out to John to donate product, service, gift card, volunteer, whatever. Because next week he's going to read through the list of the people. And if I consider you Gun for Hire alumni heavy hitter and you're not on that list of donors or volunteers, you're dead. Okay, so how's that for a threat and a warning right there? The other thing is I'm going to be leaving the state of Florida, the Sunshine State, so that I can attend the CNJFO Women for Gun Rights DC Project fundraiser April 20th at the mansion at Main Street in Voorhees. I bought 2 tickets. Tracy and I are attending. I bought a $500 package, and I donated an additional $500 because Tony Simon from the Diversity Shoot and Simon Says Train, he posed with that shirt, and I will be showing everybody a picture of him wearing the crop top shirt at the dinner. So make sure you buy your tickets for that as well, because we have to support those who support you. If you're not a member of the Coalition of New Jersey Firearms Owners, I have to ask you why you're not. They currently have a campaign going on to contact our legislators about the poll tax, where they've doubled, tripled, and quadrupled all of our fees to own guns. It's a legislative proposal, but as long as Murphy and Tammy are there, they'll definitely vote it through, because we don't have a Republican Party, because it's a supermajority Democrat Party in the state of New Jersey, unfortunately. So you should also belong to the NRA. You should also belong to FPC, SAF, whatever organization that you belong to. All the 2A organizations are important. So, John, you said you had another business. You had a gym business, which you've had for a long time. That's why you're in such good shape. Tell us about that, since it's on StandStrong.biz.
It is a sport-specific training center. I train athletes from, let's say we start in first grade all the way up to college. Really, really stick sports specific. Majority of my clientele is high school, and I've been doing this for 18 years. 18 years. Cool. So we turned over. We helped get a lot of kids into college, and we really reach all their goals they set forth in high school, and you know, to become, let's just say, you know, best in the league, all county, all state, that kind of thing. So we got a very good reputation. I started in Woodridge, and now I'm in Saddlebrook, and you know, it takes up a lot of my time, let's say that.
Well, you seem to have a lot of free time, because you're in the range a lot. which is good, doing what you do, and I appreciate what you do. So, John, give us a, since your Varsity Firearms podcast, I think when I think varsity, I think I'm to the next level of learning. When you talk about taking somebody to the range, what do you introduce them to first? What do you step them up to next? And then also recommending guns. What kind of guns do you recommend at this point?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I have a very weird process. So
Good. I want to hear that process.
Anytime.
Share it with everybody.
Let's just say a friend. It could be a friend, and it could be a friend of a friend. Obviously, I work with mostly people I know or a recommendation of somebody I know. And if I'm going to get them involved in this, and it's weird. It's kind of like I start from scratch with everybody, and I'm just kind of like their tutor while they're getting set. And I usually get them to the range, get up to the shoot, and then kind of set them on their way. But then we'll kind of go together. But in this whole process, I kind of interview everybody I'm going to help because I want to know why they're getting involved. I want to know what their passion's like, and I want to understand that they're going to understand safety first. Let's say, and once I figure that out, that we're going to go in the right direction with this individual, and they're going to go through the proper steps of, you know, safe handling and getting their permit and that they're serious about it. That's when I'll get them to the range. I get their hands on the firearm. I recommend that they take a safe handling class before they go further, and then we talk about, you know, what kind of firearms they were interested in, you know, striker fire or hammer fire or whatever it may be, and we kind of go from there. And then I'm kind of like just their assistant while they're learning. You know, I'm here for questions, and once they're comfortable, I kind of set them on their way.
Great feeling, isn't it?
Yeah.
So when you bring somebody to the range, what's your favorite gun to start somebody with?
So there's a few. I don't want to say I'm a Glock guy because I'm an everything guy, but I think that one of the best first experiences on a firearm is like a Glock 19, just because it's, you know, it's kind of that mid-size, let's say compact gun, but it's got enough girth where people can handle it, and it's affordable too. So I want people to, you know, right away, I don't want to say, hey, try this Staccato and go buy it. You don't even know how to shoot. So I always feel like a Glock 19 is a good starting point. And believe it or not, if someone tells me they want to conceal carry, I have a 365 in, chambered at 380. I let them use that first so they understand how a small gun or a micro compact gun is more snappy, so I get them to control that small firearm first.
Sure.
So those are kind of the two that I go back and forth with, depending on, you know, what their interest is. You know, are they looking just to start shooting, or are they looking to move on from, you know, from shooting, let's say, you know, once a month or a few times a year, and they want to get their concealed carry. You know, I make recommendations of refreshing themselves in classes, and I just tell them, like, you know, this is what we're going to do. Oh, you work with a SIG 320. All right, let's bring that down. Okay, now we're going to work with, you know, with a micro compact, since that's the direction you're going to go. You know, I want to take my test with the 320, and I say, you know, I don't agree with that. I think you should, you know, get that micro compact firearm, you know, and qualify with that micro compact firearm. You know, like, I you can do what you want, but these are my recommendations because I want you to be proficient, and I want you to understand what you're getting yourself into. I think you have to, you have to listen. Firearm ownership comes with responsibility. Mm-hmm. We all know that, and I think that every step of the way, I kind of put responsibility on people to make a good decision. So I'm watching people make good decisions. And that's what helps me, that's what motivates me to help them more, and that's how I kind of lead them. I try to lead them to make good, responsible decisions, in any from any aspect when it comes to firearms, from purchase to handling to safety, whatever it may be.
And again, you answer the questions objectively. You don't roll your eyes when somebody asks you a stupid question because they heard from a friend that hollow points were illegal in New Jersey or this or that. You know, you get all of the misnomers that just roll around constantly all the time. So it's important to do that. John, what about 22s? How do you feel about a 22 for introducing someone to shooting?
I was never a 22 guy. All right. Okay. So it's weird because a lot of people say to me, you don't have it. I wish I had it just so I can go and shoot more and it not be as expensive. But every time I go to your store, you know, I say to Cameron and Juan, who are phenomenal there, going to Gun for Hire gun store, make sure you check out Cam and Juan. They're going to help you and direct you in the right way. But every time I go in, I tell them, I'm looking at 22s today. I put about four or five in my hand, and I walk out buying another 9mm. So I'm not a 22 guy. At a young age, when I first learned how to shoot, or the first firearm I ever shot was a 9mm, so I didn't know any different. One time that I did shoot a 22, I felt anticipation going the opposite way. Like I felt like I wanted something more out of it. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. So I stopped messing with them, and I did compromise on the 380s.
So put a Glock 44 on your list for a future gun to buy, because it's identical to a Glock 19, and it shoots a 22, and it hardly ever has any failures to feed, failure to eject, malfunctions, or anything. Great, great design. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, because especially you with the physical fitness and everything, it's a muscle memory thing, and it's a great firearm to introduce people to shoot, especially if they're spooked, if they've had bad habits, if their husband took them to the range once and had them shoot the 44 Magnum full loads, and you know they have this habitual flinch on them, because it looks like a real gun, like a centerfire gun. It feels like a real centerfire gun, but it's got a very small bite to it, so it doesn't look like a toy or anything. So people take it seriously, and they realize that there's not a lot of kick, and you can teach them all the basic fundamentals with that, and then you can bring them up to a 380 or a 9mm from there. In my experience, I find that firearm is extremely, extremely effective, and it's also hellaciously cost-effective.
Yeah, and they just changed the sights on that, too. You got fiber optic front now on there.
Yeah, see, I didn't even know that. That's
good. Oh, you know how I know, because I was in there Thursday, and I put that gun in my hand. So,
yeah,
it's you bring it up, but you know what? I'm right with you, because you know I had Stavros in there, and I was bouncing back from the 322, the SIG 322 to the 44. So, it was. It's funny that you say that. I really know I got to get a 22. I just can't bring myself to buy it. So you know what I left with?
What's that?
You know what I bought on the way out? The SIG 365 Legion. So I left the Glock behind.
But you earlier in the show, you said you like Masoud Ayoub, who's my master.
Yeah.
And if you read all of his books, he'll tell you that 22 ammunition is definitely, if the shit hits the fan, it's definitely a great form of currency. It can be used moderately for self-defense. It can be used for small game hunting. It can be used for trading and bartering. And you can shoot it out of 22 revolvers, 22 semi-autos, and 22 rifles. So that's you talk true. About a platform that is so flexible, that has so many uses, you know. So it's definitely something to just keep into your repertoire, you know, because you can get bricks of ammo, 22, very economical, gun shows online or whatever, or if we have a blowout in a store or any other store you go to. But, you know, before you know it, you have 10,000 rounds of 22 ammo, you end up with a Ruger 10/22, you got a Glock 44, maybe you got a Smith & Wesson or a Taurus revolver in 22 long rifle. You just have a nice complement of stuff, and again, if the shit ever hits the fan, you'll be happy that you have so much ammunition laying around. And somebody like you that introduces so many people to shooting it's definitely a cost-effective thing as well for everybody out there listening as well. For years, I used to recommend the Ruger, like Mark III, for a gun, for our Browning Buck Mark for a 22, but now I've switched it and I recommend the Glock 44, which is identical in size, not weight, to the Glock 19. So that's just something to think about. Yeah. So John,
let me just say this though.
Please.
That's me, my preference. I mm-hmm. definitely recommend the 22 to a lot of new guys, just so you know that too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, but me personally, I can't get into a 22. Maybe I'll have to have a private lesson with Anthony.
definitely.
I'll bring you out of retirement. I'm going to bring you home. Let's go.
Definitely a possibility. It's just interesting that, people tend to look down on the 22. You're not looking down on it.
No, I don't look down on it. I'm just not
comfortable. But there are people that look down on the 22. But again, you know, everybody has their budget. You know, we talk about Tony Simon talks about the Kel-Tecs and stuff because they're affordable guns. I mean, we sell Mossberg pistols at the range, and yeah. they're very economical. And you know, but my guys won't talk down on that gun because it's. Everybody has a different level of affordability, and it's important that you have, you know, that you have a gun. Forget about the price. You know, not everybody can afford a SIG 365 Legion, John, which is it's a beautiful gun to have. I just got my first gun in Florida, and I got a Smith & Wesson 642 Lady Smith 5-shot.
You are a revolver guy.
You're not a revolver guy?
No, I said you are a revolver guy.
Well, because, you know, you're in Florida, and it's 1,000 degrees and humid, and I'm still 197 pounds. It's kind of hard to carry a big gun, even a small semi-auto to me. And, you know, I got this little DeSantis pocket wallet, and I have two Bianchi speed strips in my other pocket. So I'm carrying 17 rounds of ammo in a little aluminum frame 5-shot revolver. For me, that suits my needs, you know.
Me too.
And, I get criticized from people because I have a revolver. But it's interesting. I walked into a gun store in Florida, and I put in... And I got my NICS check in about 7 minutes. So, completely different than New Jersey. The mindset and everything is incredible. You know, the way they treat us, it's crazy. They hate us in New Jersey so much. So, John, give us some more advice, more tips, more advice, ammo, holster. Come on. You got a lot there. Let's go.
Well, that's what the Varsity Firearms Podcast is about. You know, I like to touch handguns, handgun preferences, experiences, different types of techniques and practice. So, like I said, I'm truly a 9mm guy, 100%. I do like the 380 for some target practice and a soft shoot, but prices kill me. I prefer a soft leather holster over the Kydex, although I have both, mm-hmm. Especially for concealed carry. I just, it's more comfortable for me. So I'm not sold or stuck on any brand. I have easily 30 different types of holsters, and it's really what I about the comfort of each one or what I'm doing, what I'm wearing. So I mean, that can expand, you know that.
Yes.
That can change daily unless you're wearing the same pants and shirt every day, maybe in a uniform or go to work or something like that. But my preferences, I love the I'll give you my favorite compact carry guns.
Please.
It's probably the, well, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. I am hooked on, and it's sometimes controversial, and sometimes people are like, I agree 100%, and that is the Hellcat. My carry gun is the Hellcat, my go-to. Springfield great Hellcat. For some reason, it shoots really well for me. Second, of course, you know, we got to throw in that SIG 365. And believe it or not, more probably the best shooter in concealable carry for me is probably the Spectre Comp, the SIG 365 Spectre Comp with the compensator on the front. So those are the kind, those are the firearms I lean to in concealed carry. Range shooting, I like the I like a whole series of Glock because you got to stay up on shooting that Glock so we can enter those Glock competitions, right?
Yes. Have you been doing the Glock Shooting Sports Foundation stuff?
Well, I was scheduled for the two. Both of them that got canceled because of snow. But it looks like there's a few more coming up that I'm going to be able to get to. But last year before I got to a lot more. But
we don't have anything canceled by snow. Just saying.
Are you recruiting me?
No,
right, listen,
no,
I'd love
no.
To get out of here.
We would like everyone up north to stay up north, actually.
So we talked about guests on the show. I have to get Sandy as a guest on the show, right?
You don't want me on the show.
Yeah, I do.
So I would get him on the show.
Yeah, I think so. I think it'd be good.
Sandy,
you know what, Sandy? I think your backstory is probably good to get out there. People need to know a little bit more about you. That's what I think.
Well, you know, my wife doesn't even want to know about me, so.
Well, listen, so John, with all the listeners for Gun for Hire Radio, I'm sure people want to know more about you, too.
John, you mentioned that you had about 30 holsters. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't it something how you have to go through so many holsters till you find one or two that are your go-to all the time?
Yeah, and you know, people make recommendations, but I got to tell you, there's when it comes to holsters, and this is my opinion again, there's no recommendation. You got to get out there and try them. There is no one holster for anybody. I think every holster fits somebody differently, and again, what is it for? Is it inside the waistband, outside the waistband? Where are you going? How does it conceal? How does it feel when you sit for 7 hours? You know, can you walk around with it? You know, there's so much. You know, how low does it go? You know, there's
I tell people all the time, carry in the house before you get your carry permit.
Yeah.
Carry an empty holster first, then carry an empty gun in that holster and before you start loading it up. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to realize this is not easy.
Oh.
You're going to also realize that the holster you thought was going to be good is really not so great.
So I had Cam at the gun store order me a crap load of holsters for the little 5-shot snubby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm using the DeSantis pocket holster.
Yeah.
I tried inside the waistband, John, outside the waistband. I tried Kydex and I tried leather. I played around with all of them, and I'm in the mirror and I'm looking at it. I'm like, you know what? I just want to wear a pair of like cargo shorts and I want to wear a polo shirt or something. This is Florida. It's hot right now. Uh-huh. And to me, nothing fits better than the little pocket holster.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's to me, it's just simple. And every time I pull the gun out
of
that pocket,
preference.
The holster stays in there.
Yep.
So I'm good.
Yep.
I'm good.
Personal preference, really. It's really what it is. You got to see what works for you.
And everybody's built different.
Right.
100%.
And the situations you're carrying in, like Anthony is saying, that, you know, down here, I mean, we're dealing with 80 degrees already, you know, so it's a little bit different. You know, you're not walking around fully dressed all the time, and you want a pair of shorts on and just a T-shirt, and it's really hard to... You know, sometimes just, especially if you're wearing like gym shorts or something like that, you know,
but what'll happen is you won't carry it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. If it's uncomfortable, you won't carry it. Right. And then what's the sense of having it?
Right.
So that's the thing. So John, go ahead, John.
I think that once you start carrying, you kind of feel lost naked without it, you know, that's
correct.
What I've noticed, which is tough, you know, I think once you start carrying a firearm, I think it's got to be always because, you know, I've made this and I've said this. I just had a conversation about this, I think, the middle of last week. You know, it's going to be that time, you know, like I'm going to be the dope that leaves it home that day that I need it, you know. So you see, it's like once you start, you can't stop. It's like a commitment to yourself, commitment to safety, self-protection, whatever it may be. You know, that commitment starts. So that's a part of the responsibility and the commitment we take when we get involved in this. You know,
I agree. All right, we're pretty much wrapped up. John, you're going to tell us again how people can find you and follow you, et cetera, please.
Definitely follow Varsity Firearms Podcast. You can find it on Apple and Spotify, Amazon, Google Play. I think it's on Podbean as well. Come support me. I could use it. I'm trying to grow. Also, check me out on Facebook, Varsity Firearms, Instagram, Varsity _ Firearms, X, Varsity Firearms. And of course, if you want to be on the show, you want to go shoot, whatever it is, shoot me an email, varsityfirearmstraining@gmail.com. And I look forward to having you on the show 100%. And let's just work together to talk about safety, training, products, and just simple gun talk to make connections and move on to build this great gun community.
Each one, reach one. Be like John.
Absolutely. I mean, you can just see what he's accomplished in the period of time, and I love your enthusiasm, John.
Yes.
Thanks. Well, it was a pleasure being with you guys today.
Thank you, John. Be safe. Varsity Firearms, Varsity Firearms Podcast. Check them out.
And with that, it looks like you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Catholic Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, New York, New York. On behalf of our show host, master trainer Anthony Colandro, author of Crime Proof, Think Like a Criminal and Beat Them at Their Own Game, which he once again failed to mention, but I'm mentioning it for him, which is a great gift right now, actually, for everyone you know who you care about, which is available in gun shops, bookshops, and gun ranges, known as Gun for Hire. Well, John, thank you so much for everything that you do, for being on the show and taking the time to do that and taking the time to train everybody you know and everybody you meet. With that, from the Gulf of Mexico, where it is way too warm to talk about for you people freezing up there in New York. So we love you guys. God willing, Jesus carries, and the batteries hold out. We will see you again next week.